Pandemic? What pandemic? As vaccinations have finally brought COVID-19 to heel, Dr. Lawton Davis with the Coastal Health District joins the Commute Podcast to discuss local infection trends, best practices heading into the July 4th weekend, and the promise that messenger RNA vaccines, such as the ones developed for COVID, hold for other infectious diseases in the future. This is the Commute Podcast presented by National Office Systems. My name is Adam Van Brimmer, and I am the editor and opinion columnist for the Savannah Morning News and SavannahNow.com. Thanks once again for listening as we bring you insights on the news and events important to Savannah area residents. Today's episode features a Savannian we've all come to recognize over the last year, Dr. Lawton Davis, who heads the local district of the Georgia Department of Public Health. The interview with him is coming right up after I tell you about our presenting sponsor, National Office Systems. Their name says it all. National Office Systems is the source for office design and outfitting services in Savannah. We at the Savannah Morning News are proud to call ourselves clients, as are hundreds of other businesses in the Savannah area. National Office Systems has been serving this community for more than 30 years and works with the best suppliers in the business. From Savannah's own Dirt Modular Interiors, which manufactures configurable office environments, to office furniture superpower Herman Miller. Learn more by visiting natoffsys.com. That's natoffsys.com. Now, here's the interview with Dr. Davis. Pleased to be joined on the commute today by Dr. Lawton Davis with the Coastal Health District, Georgia Department of Public Health. And Dr. Davis and I have talked quite a bit the last year or so, but it's kind of fallen off lately. And I think that that is a good sign, at least in terms of COVID-19 and that type of thing. But I also thought with the holiday weekend coming up and a lot of the people returning to normal, I guess is probably the easiest way to put it, that it might be a good time to check in with him and get a little bit more insights on how things are going and what we need to know as hopefully COVID becomes a little bit of a memory here in the next couple of months. Dr. Davis, is that an overly optimistic thought on my point? Where from your standpoint are we on COVID?
Well, we're obviously better off now than we were a couple of months ago. Our community, what we call the community transmission index, dropped below 100, which was the magic number, you know, level set by the governor on May 11th. We've continued to trickle downward since then, although last week or so we're sort of at a plateau in the low 40s. If you look at the 7-day rolling average of new cases, we're a little 7.3 or so, which is about where we were in early June a year ago, just before we took off. So we're really right about back down to where we were before the first true surge that we had here in Chatham County.
Some of that is reflected in our vaccination numbers. Our vaccination numbers aren't necessarily great, but they are in the 40s now. But at the same time, we're starting to see people relax and not wear their masks and maybe not be as socially distant as they have been. As we look ahead to the 4th and what is going to be a very social weekend, what do we need to keep in mind?
Well, the fact that we're still even able to measure the community transmission index, and it's still in what we would call the moderate zone of transmission, greater than 10, you know, less than 50, means that it hasn't completely gone away. We are improving our vaccination numbers. You know, we sort of completed the sprint phase of vaccination. Those people who really wanted it, you know, got out and waited in line and found a place to get it. Now I think we're in what some people call the marathon phase, where we're just sort of trying to keep it going and chip away. We've got roughly 30-35% of people that are in the what we would call vaccine hesitant or complacent zone. They're definitely not going to take it, but they just, you know, the mood hadn't quite hit just right when the availability was there for them to get it yet. So we're still doing everything we can to chip away at that number. As we go into the 4th, hopefully we'll have good weather, and hopefully a lot of the activities will be outside. And if you are vaccinated, and especially if you're with family and friends that you know are vaccinated, you should be, you know, feel pretty comfortable being around them. I would still encourage people to use common sense. And if you're going to go into an indoor venue and be there for a while with a bunch of people that you don't know, many of whom may not be vaccinated, I would still encourage you to try to remain socially distanced and wear a mask. There's no shame in wearing the mask. We know they work. And you're safer with it than without it. So, you know, when in doubt, buckle up. When in doubt, wear a mask.
Not wear a mask, right. I was talking to Dr. Fran Witt out in Effingham last week. And of course, she's the CEO of the hospital out there. And I was talking to her because of the relative to all the other neighboring counties, Effingham is well behind us in terms of vaccinations. And we talked a little bit about vaccine hesitancy, and she expressed some optimism that people would be, at least in Effingham, more and more and more over time willing to get the vaccine. And I kind of told her, I said, well, I hope that you're right, but I tend to take the other view that, you know, the farther we get away from this thing and the more kind of comfortable people feel, the less likely they are to go out and chase the vaccine. As you all continue to try to market and increase our vaccine numbers, how much do we have to guard against that whole complacency issue? And what can we do to kind of encourage those who haven't gotten the vaccine to go ahead and get it?
Well, I think we just need to continue to put out good, reliable, credible information. You know, we've given 4.5 million doses in Georgia or more. And yes, there have been a few crazy adverse reactions like there are with most any, you know, vaccines that we have, but those have been few and far between. They are proving to be incredibly effective in preventing, especially in preventing severe illness and especially death. I think it's safe to say now that over 99% of the deaths related to COVID are preventable. Less than 1% of those people now in the U.S. who succumb to it are in the vaccinated pool. 99%+ are in the unvaccinated pool. We're not seeing, as I said, an incredible number of crazy reactions. And so I think, as you know, what we hope will happen later this summer is that initially Pfizer and then hopefully closely thereafter Moderna will move from the emergency use authorization category to the fully licensed category. And that may help some of those complacent people once they know that everything, they've been through the mill, so to speak, and completely vetted, even though I think they've been pretty well vetted already, not only here, but worldwide. And so I heard some data presented by some research done through Emory last week, and they were excited or confident that we are continuing to make headway in this complacent category. I think as we start to get back to school, as the vaccines become fully licensed, we may see more entities, employers, et cetera, you know, mandate or require their people to be vaccinated. I think there are a couple of cities that have already done that. And so I think it'll become better accepted. And, but again, I don't think it's, I think if any of us had a magic recipe that we could use to, stir and move those people in the resistant or hesitant section right now, we'd all be doing that. So it's just, it's an individual family by family, you know, social network by social network thing right now. So chip away, continue to present data, continue to be open about what's going on, very transparent, and we'll get there.
Yeah, I found it interesting in recent weeks, some of the argument that I've heard from the vaccine hesitant, and it's like, you know, Chris Paul, basketball player for the Phoenix Suns, he was vaccinated, I think, in February. He contracted the disease again a couple of weeks ago, and people are like, well, look, it doesn't work. And I think what people are missing here is a couple of things. One is efficacy, you know, when it's 95% effective, that still means 5%, so 5 out of 100 may catch it. What they're not also looking at is the fact that the very few, and I think you made the point, very few are actually having hospitalizations and dying from it now. So it's interesting that we could get that message out there to say, people, you know, if you're vaccinated, even if you get it, the vaccine is knocking it down when you get it. Is that something that maybe needs to be talked about a little more?
Yes, I think you've made that point very well. And the other thing along with that is that there's now good data that shows that if you are one of those unfortunate few that has a breakthrough case, the viral load, you know, the number of virus particles you harbor in your upper respiratory system is greatly reduced from what it would be if you were unvaccinated, and you are very unlikely to be able to spread it to someone else. So even if you get it, probably won't have a very significant case of it, and B, it is extremely unlikely that you'll be able to spread it to anybody else. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, those are things to remember. Pardon the interruption, but please allow me to work in a small word about a big sale. Right now, you can get 6 months access to SavannahNow.com, the online publication of the Savannah Morning News, for just $6. I'm no mathematician, but that works out to be $1 a month. Didn't even have to fire up the old smartphone calculator to figure that one out. Our website is the best place to keep up with community news, sports, and opinion makers. Go to SavannahNow.com/subscribe now to get full access. Now, back to the discussion with Dr. Lawton Davis.
One thing I think that's making a lot of people nervous right now is this new Delta variant. Where are we in Georgia with that, and what do we need to know and keep in mind on that strain?
Everywhere, we're definitely keeping an eye on the Delta and the Delta Plus variant. The bad news is that it is in many countries, and it has been identified in the U.S. and it has been identified in Georgia. The good news is that as of the last information I have, which was probably the end of last week, and I'll probably get an update later this week, comprised only 0.4% of the specimens that had been sequenced, whereas the Alpha variant or the UK variant is over 90%. The other good news is that it appears that particularly the Pfizer and Moderna, the messenger RNA vaccines, there's very good data that shows that they are still about 90% effective in preventing the Delta variant. We don't really have the numbers yet on the Delta Plus variant, which is basically the Delta variant with one more little mutation at a key spot on the spike protein. We just don't know yet about that. So, you know, yes, it's here, but it's here apparently in very, very low numbers. And if we can continue to vaccinate and approach herd immunity with something, with a vaccine that's 90% effective against it, maybe we can keep it from becoming the problem here that it is in some other places.
So my last question is not COVID related, but it's related to the vaccine. And I was reading something the other day that talked about the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, how effective they've been, their mRNA vaccines, which is kind of the first time those have been used, and what the effectiveness of these vaccines means for future mRNA vaccines, whether it's for malaria or other things. As you look, and I don't know that you've had a chance to really kind of look back and absorb kind of the effectiveness of the vaccine and what the ramifications could be for the future, if I could ask you to do that, are we going to start to see these things become much more common than the vaccines that are basically taken from a weakened strain of the virus? And how much of a benefit is that to public health to have these mRNA vaccines out there?
First, let's make sure that people understand you're getting the Davis opinion here, and I'm not a virologist or any vaccine manufacturing expert. But having said that, one of the beauties of the messenger RNA technology, which has been around for 15 to 20 years, it's just not been out like this, is that it gives us what I call vaccine agility, meaning that if a new strain of this virus pops up, this will be in very simplistic terms, but theoretically all one would have to do is get the new virus, do the genetic sequencing, which we're already doing on a lot of them anyway, pick out the spots of the code, the genetic code in certain regions of the virus, like they've done with these, create a little computer code, if you will, the messenger RNA for that codes for that location on the virus, put it in the same vehicle we're already using. Don't have to reinvent that wheel, and boom, you've got a brand new vaccine. So what I kind of hope or predict it, that we may see in the future is, like with flu shots now, you know, we put four strains of flu in each shot. We may have messenger RNA flu vaccine, you know, in the very near future. But we also could go and look at let's just take the UK variant, the Indian variant, and the South African variant, you know, that are out there now, and maybe the Delta Plus, the Indian Plus variant. Okay. We're worried about those. Let's go make a vaccine that specifically codes for a key section in each one of those, put them all in one vaccine, and boom, Adam takes it, and Adam has, you know, in 4 weeks, has immunity to all four of those variants. And that's not a big stretch of the imagination.
That would be a real breakthrough on the flu vaccine too, right? Because a lot of times with the flu vaccine, they're somewhat kind of guessing what strains are going to be prevalent each year.
Yes, and there has been some work done, and I hope this will come to fruition. You know, in influenza, we talk about H1N1 or H3N2 or whatever. Our vaccines target the H part of that, and that changes rapidly. The N's almost never change.
Okay.
And so if we were able to make a vaccine that targeted an N, you know, the two strains of N that are out, the two varieties of N that are out there right now, and you took that flu shot might protect you against everything that's out there for 10, 15 years.
Wow.
And so, and similarly with SARS-CoV-2 virus, at the moment, we're just targeting the spike protein, but there may be a portion of the virus which is much more stable that doesn't change. And if we were able to create a vaccine that coded for that part of the virus, it might be, okay, let the spike protein change all it wants to. That doesn't matter. We're hitting it somewhere else. And so, you know, those are things that I would love to see happen.
That would really be something. And, you know, if there's anything about any kind of silver lining having to do with this, with COVID and the pandemic, but certainly this would be one.
Yeah, and you mentioned malaria and some other things. Goodness, yes, if we could create a really effective malaria vaccine. Malaria kills a tremendous number of people worldwide every year. We don't think about it much here, but in many parts of the world, it's still, the number one infectious disease, and that's why the mosquito is still the most dangerous animal in the world.
I'm hoping this may be one of the, if not the final time, one of the last final times we talk about COVID, but we'll look forward to circling back down the road and maybe talking about some other public health issues. But it's been very enjoyable for me and educational and knowledgeable for me to speak with you over the last year. And I really enjoy and appreciate the fact you're willing to come out there and help educate the public. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you, and have a great day.
That's all for the June the 29th episode of The Commute. Thanks again to Dr. Lawton Davis for being our guest, and to National Office Systems for their sponsorship. Please support them as they support this podcast. If you'd like to hear more of The Commute, dial up our archives by searching The Commute with @SavannahOpinion on iPodcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. The Commute returns on Thursday when I talk with two local tourism leaders. Visit Savannah's Joe Marinelli and the Tourism Leadership Council's Michael Owens about the outlook for the leisure and hospitality sector of Savannah's economy. We'll look forward to talking to you then.